Talking about the difficulty that Christians have with the Word of God. I've heard it said from lots of people that have left the church that we're just so unreasonable because not only do we think we're perfect, but we expect other people to be perfect. And what an unreasonable church that expects you to receive what God has for you and to show it in your life. I wonder if there were a hospital in town that said, you can't expect to get healthy here. Oh, we'll keep you alive, but don't expect to walk out of here in perfect health. Ye who enter these doors, abandon all hope. How many of you would go to such a hospital, God forbid that you had a need? If they clearly told you, we don't expect you to get well, but do you have insurance? No, you would insist on someone who at least thought they could make you well. Why you are willing to accept less from the Lord Jesus Christ is what I'm dealing with this morning. The reason that you have the difficulty as a Christian, because God does make many, many promises, and he only expects you to do one thing in order to take advantage of all those promises. Exodus 27 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. In other words, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how much of a Christian you've become, at least in thought, as long as you take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the Lord will not hold you guiltless, even though you are sinless. Even though your sin is paid for, you're still guilty on this earth for the simple reason that you take his name in vain. Because you see, there are forces on this earth that God allows whose job it is to punish the guilty. Their job is to be the Lord over those who don't want Jesus as their Lord. It calls them the evil powers. Now, these evil powers, these demon spirits, have full reign on this earth for the time being to walk around devouring everything and everybody that takes the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, those that didn't take him even as Savior, they're dead meat even as they walk. For those of you that took his name as Savior but shut him out everywhere else, you're dead meat here too, but you're going to be all right in heaven. Now these demon spirits are walking around with full authority to do their damnedest, and they do, to all of those that don't have the name of the Lord thy God or that take his name in vain. Name means a whole lot more than just what you're called by. It means how you act, how you talk. And those of us, we're all viceroys, and those of us who are viceroys that fly and look and talk like a monarch, the demon spirits aren't going to fool with you. They've been conditioned. So you see, it isn't so much who you are on this earth, it's how you are. And that's why the question is, how are you? And everybody always, it's the first thing, how are you? Well, in this church, I don't ask you, how are you? I tell you how you are. Amen. How is you, in other words? Let's find out what this name means of the Lord, because it means a lot more than just using Jesus Christ every time you get mad and say it. Name means a definite, conspicuous position, which means thou shalt not take the definite position God has given you. You are given the position of Father, not Punisher, not God, not Judge, Father. You are given the position of Mother, not Shrew, not Hag, not Nag, not Critic. You don't work on Broadway. You're not a Broadway critic. You're not Siskel and Ebert. We don't care what you think about it. That's not your position. Although God cares about that. He didn't give you that position. So you see, you take the definite position that God has given you in vain. When you're called on to be a father, you get mad and upset. You're called upon to be a husband, you get upset and angry. You're called upon to be a wife and you can't stand it. You don't like your position. It's definite. See, God doesn't fool around. And sometimes the only way a person can know who they are is to be stripped naked. Then, lady, you make no pretense that you're a man. You can't. Now, I know you know what that means physically. And man, if you were stripped naked, you would not be able to make an argument that you were anything but a man. Hopefully. You understand that physically. But spiritually and emotionally, there's people sitting in this room that will not accept their position until you're stripped naked. Until you lose husband, wife, children, health, material goods, jobs, promotions, finally your life. Naked you came in and naked you're gone. Sad that you have to be stripped naked before you know who you are. It's a definite and conspicuous position, and when you take it in vain, God doesn't hold you guiltless. You have a job to do, and it's your job to do it. Again, everybody wants the job. Very few people want the work. Name also means an appellation as a mark of individuality. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. But name also means honor, authority, and character. Thou shalt not take the honor, the authority, and the character of the Lord thy God in vain. I don't know if your family was anything like mine, but my grandfather put a great deal of stock in his name. This man would he refused to pay his bills on time. He had to be at least one day early. At least, minimum. And he said, that's my name. I put my name down there. That's my honor, and that's how people will know me. So see, that was his individuality. That was a characteristic that would always mark Mr. Bustos, which, in case you didn't know, was my grandfather. He had honor and authority and character. And the thing that he always taught me, as long as you live in my house, don't bring shame to my honor, my authority, and my character. And more than once I did. I remember one time I stole a ding-dong. Ding-dong took a ding-dong. Ding-dong, the witch is dead. But a ding-dong took a ding-dong. You know, I was such a spoiled brat when they busted me, you know, and they ratted on me and the whole thing. I was such a spoiled brat, though, that my mother had a charge account at that store for me. I could walk in and buy what I wanted when I wanted. She had limits, but who cared about that? I could have just taken it, walked up, and they put it down, and that was it. I'd rather steal it. My grandfather was not satisfied in just beating me. You would think that would be enough for him. But he made me go get another ding-dong and take it back to the man and apologize in front of everybody and admit that I stole it. And the reason that he did that, he says, just because you're a thief, I don't want them to think that I condone thievery. I'm not a thief. I never took another thing ever again. See, that's the individuality that the man had, and he took the he had the audacity to think that my behavior was somehow a reflection on him just because I happened to be in the same family. Well, now I find another man who has the same nerve. He says, you've taken the appellation, the mark of the individuality of Jesus Christ, in vain. Appellation means the act of calling someone by a name. Christ, Christian. Appellation also means a name or title that describes and identifies you. In other words, if you're a knothead, that's an appellation. A jerk, that's an appellation. A wimp, that's an appellation. And we could go on and on and on, and most of them would describe and identify somebody in here. But he says, if those are the kinds of appellations that describe and identify you, then you've taken the appellation of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain, because his name is Lord, Savior, strength, peace, power, love, giving, health, prosperity. Boy, there's a lot of appellations there that somehow missed your boat, didn't they? Appellation also means a definite position. Definite means precise, clear, certain, and positive. There should be no doubt at all what your job is. There should be no doubt in your mind spiritually either. God judges, the devil punishes. God forgives, the devil damns. You ought to be able to see the difference between those positions. But your position, your opinion is that God damns and God kills. God damn. God killed her. God killed him. God kills them. Well, that's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, because he's the giver of life. But the Bible does clearly describe a murderer and the father of lies, and that's not God. You don't have any distinct meaning or clear thought of your own position, because you don't even know the position that God has. And the reason you don't understand God's position is you keep putting him in the position that your father's in your mind. And until you get free of the earthly father, you're going to see the heavenly father the same way you see the earthly father. And ladies, you're going to see your husband and God the same way you see your father. But his position is definite, and so is yours. It's also a very conspicuous position. Conspicuous means easy to see and very obvious. But conspicuous means also something that attracts attention by being outstanding. Now, be honest. Is your life conspicuous in terms of Jesus Christ? Well, if it isn't, it's because you took his name in vain. Now, it's a definite conspicuous position. Now, I'm saying every time you don't act this way, you're taking his name in vain. And I don't care how much you tithe, I don't care how much you come to church, I don't care how much you read, if you don't put it into action, you're taking his name in vain. It's a definite conspicuous position. Position means the proper place of a person. Do you understand there's only one place on this whole planet where it's proper for you to be right now? And it's right here. But if you're not in your proper place at the proper time here, then you're not going to be in the proper place at the proper time anywhere. And you'll go through life and people say, oh, we just sold that. Oh, you just missed. We just filled the position. Oh, you should have been, just, oh, we're not ready yet. Well, call us in 2 or 3 months. Well, you're not in the proper place. Yeah. You're too early or too late. Or you're right on time, but in the wrong place. Yeah. But you understand that walking in the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ means you're in the right place at the right time, in the right position, and ready for whatever's there. You walk around through life hoping and wishing and praying that somehow, coincidentally, all these unmanageable, unforeseeable factors will come together just the right time at the right place for you. And they won't. you scream and holler and scratch and bout and gouge, trying to get your fair share out of life. And there's nothing wrong with you except that you're not in the proper place. There's somebody out there that's just begging. There's a person out there that says, oh, I need this, these people to come. I've got to sell them this motorhome. I've got to.
Amen.
And I said, well, I'll go look at it. And I went, and I didn't even know. I first saw it, nah, it's too fancy for me, too much. Price. See, these people don't know their onesies and twosies. They don't know onesies. They start from threesies on up. And I mean, foursies is good, and fivesies, they really, and then from there on, they just gleam.
Yeah. Right.
I walked in and nothing grabbed me. So I wasn't at the proper place, so I didn't worry about it. Then one day I walked in and I said, I'll give this much. And they said, ha, ha, what? In fact, there was two of them there. I said, well, if I'll make so much of an offer. And the guy that makes the decision was standing right next to him. I was talking to the salesman, and he walked away. Not the proper place, not the proper time, and that must not be the proper machine. That was a big mistake they made, because I had laid hands on that by then. So you see, being in the proper place, you will never fail, never. And you never have to worry about anything. But you see, you're always rushing here because you're late. You should be down there, and you're just here. So you're always behind, retard.
That's right.
You're never in your proper place. And the proper place starts right here, in relation to God. Position also means the location or condition in which a person has the advantage. So you see, if you're in your position, if you're in the name of the Lord, if you're in your proper place, you'll always have the advantage. But you know what you can't stand? You can't stand being put in your place. Never have been able to. That's why we have empty places here. Because they didn't want to be put in their place. So now they ain't got no place. They'll be back. Placeless. Position also means high rank and high status. It means a place high in society. You know, the more I learn this and the more I accept this, the more I see the manifestation of it. I took Karen to a movie last night. And there was these several deaf people there. And very kind of, not only deaf, but obviously they weren't all there. And they just kept breaking in front of people in line. And I was watching them there. And I was standing waiting for Karen. She was getting some stuff for us to take into the movie. And this guy came out, and he was deaf and a little bit retarded. And he was walking by, and he just looked at me, and he just started beaming. And he walked up to me, and he grabbed my hand, and he went like this. And he touched me, and then he just walked away and kept looking at me and smiling. I almost said it's too late, I'm married. Besides that, I'm straight. And then I watched him, and he walked in front of everybody, and he started talking this way to the girl, and he wanted a hot dog and this and that, and the guy, his friend kept trying to get him to the end of the line. No way. He finally got his hot dog. And on the way back, he stopped and he put his hot dog down. And he smiled at me and was petting my shoulder like this and he wasn't saying he couldn't speak and he couldn't hear. And then he just picked up his hot dog and he kept looking at me, just smiling as he went down. You see, there's something, I don't know what it is. It's a quality. It's Jesus Christ. There's something there. One day we'll see it, but I know it's there. It's a place high in society. Don't you understand where God has put you? Now, as long as people aren't treating you like the status and the rank that you have, it's because you're not in the position that God has put you in. You take that position to be vain, worthless. So you see, this is a definite, conspicuous position. But it's a position that describes you. So we have to get the job description, the position description. Describes means something that's written about, something that's pictured in words, in a detailed account. In other words, it is written in the Bible. This is your name here. This is what ought to describe you, the Bible. But it also identifies you. See, people won't know who you are or what you are. And it's important that these spirits know who you are. It is important that people know who you are, and you don't have to tell them, by the way. Because my Bible says that the world is heaping up treasures. They're working very hard, piling it up in nice, neat little piles, and then it says, they heap it up, and I get to use it. So you see, some poor souls that are out of position have been trying to sell a motorhome for a long time, and it wouldn't sell. Until I walked in. I could have held out a little longer and they'd have had to give it to me. But you know, you can't take advantage of it. The Lord gave me and I gave them. So this name of the Lord ought to identify you. The name of the Lord ought to identify you. Christian ought to identify you. If you remember, the word identify means to make you identical. So you see, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you take his name in vain, that means you're not identical to Jesus. You don't identify with him. Well, the reason you don't identify with him, because you think he's a liar. He said you could do this, and you said you can't. He said he wouldn't hurt you, and you said he does. He said you can't be hurt, and you say you can. So you see, you don't identify with him. That's why you're not identical. Now, why would God ask me to identify with him if he didn't expect me to be identical, since they mean the same thing? Identify also means to consider or treat as the same. In other words, what the Father is saying, I gave you a name, Christian, which means little Christ, which means I'm obligating myself to consider you and treat you the same as I treat my own son, the first begotten Jesus Christ. There's your position. He's obligated himself to treat you the same. He just can't find you. You're not in your proper place. Now, how do you get in that position? I mean, if it was up to God, we'd all be there. You know what else identify means? To put yourself in another's place in order to share the other's blessings, thoughts, and feelings. So what does that mean? You've got to put yourself in that place. But no, your ego and your pride, no, you can't be like Jesus. I agree with you, you can't. Why? Because you said you can't. Because you take his name in vain. Now let's find out what vain means. See, when you take his name in vain, you'll always end up failing. And you'll always say, you're a failure, you can't do anything right. People will come along and tell you the same thing. Well, see, Satan always says to me, you're a failure. Look at this tiny little church. Oh, yeah, nothing here. I mean, you're a failure. Joe Kumquat just left. And he doesn't like you. You're a failure. I'm a failure. Why, you jerk, have you forgotten Calvary?
Yeah.
You couldn't do nothing, you big phony, you failure. You couldn't do a thing. You failed completely at Calvary, and you're calling me a failure?
Yeah.
See, he keeps telling you what's wrong with you, and he's the one that flubbed it.
That's right.
Tells me I'm a failure. He reminds me I'm a failure. I remind him of Calvary. I like to remind him of hell in the lake of fire. Now, that's failure. Oh, you're not doing so. You ain't got 70. You're going to hell in the lake of fire, and you're judging me? You have no, that's nerve.
Yeah.
I like to remind him of the book of Revelation. Nothing goes right for this dude. Nothing. He failed in the garden. He failed in Revelation. He's a failure from the beginning to the end. That's who you're listening to? I mean, you got to consider the source, I would believe. So it's a vain person talking to a vain person. Now let's look up this word vain to see how you take your position, this truth. Vain means to treat as useless because it's deceptive. Vain means to be idolatry because it's false. In other words, you have made an idol out of the Lord Jesus Christ because you show him in your life to be false. You can't quit this, you can't start this, you can't do that. He's a false idol. He doesn't exist, he can't do nothing, and he's a liar on top of that. And the evidences of that is, I say I want to quit, but I can't. I say I want to be better, but I don't. So I've done everything I can do, so it's this false idol that Reuben talks about. He's no good, he's useless. Vain means useless, worthless, to no purpose. Useless means something that's not helpful. Something that has no advantage, no practical use, and no benefit. Now, I didn't decide what you wanted to stop. You did. Jesus didn't decide what you wanted to stop. You did. Now you are saying that Jesus Christ, the Word, is useless. It's of no help and no benefit, and there's no advantage. Because you're trying so hard, and this Jesus person just kind of messed up. He's a failure. I'll remind you of Calvary too, like I reminded Satan. And Jesus came back in power and glory in 3 days. And before that, it was his love for you and I that caused him to go in the first place. I don't count that as of no practical use. Vain also means something that's useless because it's deceptive. Deceptive means intended to deceive. Something that says to you, I'll promise you all of these things. You join this church, you come and bring some money there, and then after you leave, you'll find out it's worthless. But keep hoping. Maybe next week. No, maybe next week. No, maybe next week. Oh, but when you die, for sure. That's a scam. That's a con artist. Someone that's telling you, pay now and collect later. How could you be so dumb? What if you went down to the store now and your husband said, I'm going to buy you the nicest dress in town without even being asked? First, shoot by Target and buy a snow shovel before the price goes up. Because as soon as he does that, it will snow. And you try on this beautiful dress, $150. And he plunks it down and they said, send it to you later. And you go back next week, not ready yet, later. Not ready yet, later. As soon as you die, we'll bury you in it. You'll look great. As soon as you die, you'll have all the advantages. Tell your friends about us too. And you go tell your friends, oh, I'm going to go buy me one of those dresses. That's stupid. But that's how you treat the Lord Jesus Christ. You treat him like he's deceiving you, just leading you on, just trying to milk you of whatever he can get from you because he's bankrupt. He doesn't have, without you, he'll fall apart. And he's just conning you, just kind of keeping you halfway happy until you die. And then when you die, he'll say, oops. There's no way to live. Deceptive or deceived means to make a person believe what is not true, to mislead you, to be false, to betray you, to lie to you. Now, somebody's lying if you said you wanted to stop and you can't. because he said you could. Now, somebody's lying. Now, when you keep trying to tell me that you really want to, then what you're saying is God's lying, because if you want to and he doesn't, then it's not happening. But if he wants to and you don't, then it's not happening. So clearly, one of you is a liar. And you've decided that it's him. You've taken his name in vain. And in doing so, you turn Jesus Christ into an idol. Because vain means idolatry is false. Idolatry means the image of a heathen god, an imposter. Jesus Christ is an imposter. He's an effigy. Idolatry means an effigy. Imposter is a person who deceives or cheats others, especially by pretending to be someone or something that he is not. Now, he said he is your Savior, period. He said he is the physician, period. He also said, I am your convictor. I know what's wrong with you. The problem is you don't want to confess it. So you make an effigy of Jesus. Have you ever watched on TV when someone is protesting and they have this little doll-like thing that they hang, and it kind of resembles whoever, it's usually the president or Saddam or somebody who the crowd doesn't like. They make an effigy of that person they want to get rid of and they don't like. You're an effigy of Jesus Christ. Effigy means a crude representation of a despised person. A crude representation. Walking around calling yourself a Christian but being a crude representation of the person that you call yourself. Crude, by the way, means immature. An immature representation of a despised person. So when you say you cannot be like Christ, you become an effigy. And there's only one thing that effigies are for. They're to be hung. Hung in effigy. So you walk around through life constantly hung up here, hung up there, and just hung up. Can't do nothing. You see, you ought to be identical to Jesus. Not a crude representation. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. And then you walk out of here and the Lord has no more praise in your life than the man in the moon. You become a crude representation of the Lord. An effigy. You become an idol because you've made him an idol. So it's an idol representing and worshiping another idol. You become a crude representation, and crude means raw. Listen to your language. Listen to your I don't say those things anymore. If there was some way that I could plug something on your brain and put it on a loudspeaker, and we could all hear what we're all thinking. Mm-hmm. You would really go to sleep in a hurry, and then we'd know what you were dreaming. Crude also means immature, lacking grace. No forgiveness in you whatsoever. Just walking around looking for an excuse to be angry, to be upset, to beat something or somebody. Looking for somebody to hang. You don't sound like Jesus to me. I know there's people like that on this earth. If you weren't a crude representation, they wouldn't try to hang you. Crude also means lacking grace and lacking taste. See, crude people lack taste. How else would you be willing to burn trash in your mouth? You become an incinerator for garbage. You lack taste. Those things that you eat and drink that could gag a maggot when you first started, now you love it. Grease, slimy grease. Well, you lack taste now. You've become crude. And I'll tell you something. Your desires, your appetites will change physically when you change mentally and not before. If you had taste, you wouldn't like the things that you like. But you're crude. You take his name in vain. And that's why you don't have the discernment. See, your body no longer has the ability to say, ooh, that's no good. It had it once, but no more. You're crude. You lack taste. You know what else crude means? Now crude tells you why you lack taste. Crude means untreated as by analysis. Which means a person that's crude is one that does not want to be sit down and analyze the problem. They don't want to know the problem. They don't want to know what's wrong. All they care about is who's wrong as long as it's not me. They're false. And the reason you're false is that you think Jesus is false. The reason you can't understand this, the analysis just doesn't fly, is because you refuse to be analyzed. So now Jesus is false because you're false. False means not true. You said you were going to do that and you didn't. You said you wanted to do that and you didn't. You agreed to do that and you didn't want to. You built all this resentment. You're not true. False means untruthful, dishonest, and misleading. False also means not properly so named. How dare him name himself Lord, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords? That's not true. He said he has dominion, and he defeated death at Calvary, and you say no. Death can come and take someone whether they like it or not. That's a damn lie. Can't happen. And by the way, it doesn't happen. I'm going to get down to this guiltless part and then we'll finish up with a little bit nicer stuff at 11, now at 11. God says the person that does that, I will not hold him guiltless. Guiltless means clean. I will not cause him to be clean. He will not be clear. He'll not be blameless, he'll not be innocent, and he'll not be unpunished. Well, before you get it in your mind that God's going to come down and swoop on you and take everything away, that's not his job. He said you're not going to be clean if you take his name in vain. That's what guiltless means. A person that is not confessing can't be guiltless, and if you're not guiltless, you're not clean, because that's what guiltless means, clean. Clean means free from dirt, contamination, or impurities. I could go through your refrigerator and prove to you you're not clean, because you're not free from dirt, contamination, or impurities. Clean also means recently laundered. Recently laundered. See, y'all want to confess once and become a Christian, and that's it. What if you went and bought that same new dress and they gave it to you and you wore it and wore it and wore it and wore it and never laundered it? Be a mess, wouldn't it? Even your clothes need confession, cleaning. You wear them one day and they need to be clean. But this body, you wear it one day and you say, I don't need to clean it. And you go days and weeks and years without cleaning your body. Now, if you did that physically and didn't shower, you'd stink to high heaven. But on the inside, you're not recently laundered. You see, this is a daily thing. Or it ought to be. You had your shower today? Get up in the morning and you recognize without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dead meat. You start out the day right. And at the end of the day, you sit down with the Lord and say, man, it's time for a shower, Lord. I did this and I did this, but I thank you for that and I thank you for that and I was wrong there. And there's no time to talk about anybody else. But see, you're out laundering everybody else. Jiffy quick car wash. And you're just running everybody through the wash and you stink like hell, to tell you very honestly. Clean means recently laundered and fresh, morally pure and fair. There's no fairness because you allow yourself, well, she hurt my feelings. She said something that wasn't nice and put a an impure thought in my mind. I said, oh, well, my goodness. Sister Guacamole, I'm so happy that you want to keep your mind so clean and you don't even want an impure thought to come in. And then I see you light up a cigar. Well, that's going to put a hell of a lot more impurity in you than that thought that you think they thought that they might have said to somebody else. That's not fair. Clean also means keeping oneself and one's surroundings clean. Not one or the other, both. You see, you can't keep your surroundings clean because you're dirty inside. First thing you got to do is you got to get up and clean up inside. Then the rest of it won't look so. But you sit there, I'm not happy, I'm not this, I'm not that, I hate my position. And if everything's dirty inside, then you look at the outside, and I don't want to do that either. And then the Pope gets home, Papa Pope. Just making it, white gloves and everything. But a pig wouldn't eat what this man ate today. Not only in terms of food, but to keep their mind on. He's got the nerve to come home and he's got on a pair of tennis shoes that if you put them inside of the house, put a tent over the house, and just leave for a day or so, there would not be one creeping, crawling thing anywhere. And he comes home and he puts them things on top of the thing there and watch TV, and you could see, almost see the fumes, just like waves. You watch the TV and then there's waves and the thing, it's these things radiating up from, and a fly This is the same dude that says there's dust under there. And he goes, there's dust. Oh, there's dust under there. When you do that, take a deep breath for God's sake. You won't have time to do that. In fact, I wish you'd do like this. Keeping oneself and one's surrounding clean. That's what guiltless means. Do you understand what God is trying to tell you here? Clean also means neat and tidy, shapely and well-formed, trim. You don't walk around looking like that lamppost or this pulpit. Just shapely, well-formed, trim. No obstructions, no flaws, no bypasses necessary. See, he had quadruple bypass. Yeah, he'd been bypassing all his life. Always trying to get around things. That's you. You try to get around things. I'll do it anyway, but I don't have to do it the Lord's way. Bypass, bypass, bypass. One day a man in a white coat is going to come and tell you, you need several bypasses. Because now your heart's doing what you've been doing all along. Your whole system needs bypass. Detours, detours here. This doesn't work. Put a bridge over that. A viaduct under this. We need a tunnel there. And they have to redo you. Bypass, bypass, bypass. Doctors don't understand. They could have got a hold of that person a long time ago with a little preventive medicine. There'd be no such thing as bypasses. But they're full of obstructions, full of flaws. Clean also means empty, therefore clear. See, when you empty something out of a jar, assuming that it's transparent, and you are, the minute we empty you out, then you're clear. The problem is you want to be clear and hold it all in. Now that you're clean, you will be clear. Clear means clear sounding and bright. Good morning. Oh, God, I hate to go to work. Would you like to have no job? God, I'd like to eat. Always complaining about what you have. See, you've gone a step beyond in terms of stupidity. I can remember when you first walked in here.
That's right.
Complaining about what you didn't have.
Yeah.
Now you have it, and you're complaining about what you have. That's not too clear to me.
No.
Clear also means having no blemishes. See, you'll have no more butt warts. No more. You'll be able to sit down and not squirm. Things won't be popping out. No more necessity to spend $7,000 for suction things that you put on, sucking things out of you. There'll be nothing inside of there. Clear means not faint or blurred, easily seen, easily heard, perceiving acutely, keen, logical, serene and calm, free from confusion or ambiguity, easily understood, free from the charge of guilt. See, you're still guilty, I'm guilty. I did things wrong today, I did them yesterday, and I'm sure going to do them tomorrow. I'm not free from guilt, I'm free of the charge of guilt. No one can charge me with any crime. Even though I've committed it. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for it. Why? Because I confessed it. That's why. So we're both paid for, you just don't want to confess. You walk through life blaming others for what's wrong with you, so you don't have freedom from the charge of guilt, even though we're all guilty. Clear also means free from debt. There's a big one right there. You don't believe this man, go home and look at your accounts honestly. You're not free from debt. You can't get by on what you make. You have to. Psalms chapter 1. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. Thank you, Father, as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seateth of the scornful. So you see, there's a blessing there, but it's conditional. It's conditional on not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now you say, well, yeah, let's see, do I have any ungodly people in my life? Yes, you. Do you have any sinners in your life? Yes, you. Do you have any scornful people? Yes, you. You. You see, you keep trying to change it by changing everyone around you. And God says, if you're not in the counsel of the ungodly, in the way of sinners or scornful, you'll be blessed. Now, blessed is a misused word, I believe, because we all think of blessings and being blessed as having a lot of money and having a lot of things. That's the end result of blessing or being blessed. It has nothing to do with how it begins. Blessed, the root word, the root meaning, it's sequential, starts with being happy. Blessed means being happy. And you're not happy. You're just not a happy person. See, it doesn't mean prosperity and then happiness. It means happiness and then prosperity. And you're just not happy. Well, why aren't you happy? Because you don't have any happiness. See, it's impossible to be happy without a happiness. Somehow or other, happiness is necessary to be happy. You have to have happiness. And you ain't got no ness to go with the, well, it's all right, because you got no happy anyhow. So blessing means to be happy and have happiness. Now that's right off the bat. Just being a child of the living God and having the position where he speaks to you ought to make you happy.
Yeah.
That ought to be happiness.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of happiness, but it's not the end of it. From happy and happiness, it goes to being straight, being level, and being right. Straight, level, and right. Now you see, notice it doesn't work like you were taught. If you're right, then you're happy. No. If you're happy, you'll be right. So you're not happy unless you're straight, you're level, and that's why you're never happy. Because you're never straight, you're never level, and you're never right. Why? Because you're never happy. You got to start out happy. And you can't be happy unless you have happiness. Well, now that you have happiness, and you're happy, and you're straight, and you're level, and you're right, now the third definition, to go forward by being honest and then prospering. Oh, man. The Lord always just has to just give it a... To go forward by being honest.
Yeah.
Well, now that tells you why you don't go forward. You're not honest.
Right.
You're holding back. You're not being straightforward with the Lord. You're not blessed. So see, first it's happy. Because you have happiness. Then you go straight, you go level, and you go right. Level means no emotions, no swings. Straight means no variations. This way one day, and you say you're going to be somewhere, you're going to be there, and you're going to do it. And you're going to do it happy and peppy and bursting with love.
Amen.
And you'll always be right. That's blessed. Now I'm going to tell you what takes it away from you. It says, is a man blessed, happy, straight, level, right, growing, going forward, honest, being honest, and prospering, is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel obviously means advice. And ungodly means a morally wrong person. Now, what another person does morally wrong is not your problem. That isn't what robs you of your unhappiness, although you want to believe that. You want to believe that when your wife does something wrong, that robs you of your unhappiness. No, 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 no. This makes no provision for anybody but you and Jesus here. So when you follow the advice of a morally wrong person, well, I tell you, don't do that. Don't burn that in your mouth. And then you say, well, but I want to. And besides that, I can't help it. So now whose advice are you taking? Whose counsel are you following? A person who's morally wrong. Now who's going to suffer for that? The one that made the decision. Ungodly means an actively bad person, a guilty person. See, morally wrong and actively bad doesn't mean because of what you do. It means because of what you are, and ungodly means guilty. And why are you guilty? Because you haven't confessed. Because, you see, all Christians, all human beings are guilty. Those of us that have confessed what we're guilty of are now free. Those of you that don't confess what you're guilty of, you're still ungodly. Even though your behavior is probably no worse and probably might even be better than mine. Because you're trying to pay for your godliness. So you remain guilty and you follow the advice of a guilty person. Now, you say, well, Reuben, why is it that I can't stop? Because you're following the advice of a guilty person.
Amen.
Well, why is it that when you say it makes so much difference? Because you're then following the advice of a person who's not guilty.
Right.
Now, I didn't say you're following the advice of a person that didn't commit the crime. I said you're following the advice of a person that's not guilty. I've confessed it. I'm free of it. And I'm asking you to do the same. But no, you follow the advice of a guilty person. A guilty person, by virtue of everything that's wrong with you, you blame it on everybody around you. So there's plenty of guilty people in your life. It's just never you. Now, those people that you say are guilty and morally wrong and they do so bad, you never follow their advice. So even if they were wrong, how could they affect you? Because you never do what they tell you. But you are following your own advice. And you're ungodly. That's why you're not happy. You're following the advice of a guilty person. That's number one. There's three. You're happy if you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take your own advice, in other words. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Way means the condition. Don't be in the condition of a sinner. Now, there's no way that I cannot be a sinner until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and removes sin from this earth. I'm going to dibble and dabble. So he said, don't stand, don't be in the condition of a sinner. Now, I can be a sinner because I obviously am, and not be in the condition of a sinner because I obviously am not. Well, how can you be in the condition of a sinner? See, everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this doesn't say, blessed is the man who's not a sinner. This says, blessed is the man that's not in the condition of a sinner. So I can be a sinner and not be in the condition of a sinner. Sinner means a criminal or one who is accounted guilty. So there's two types of sinners. The criminal, the one who's not forgiven, and then those that are forgiven that are still counted guilty. Now, people always say to me, well, why do I always count myself guilty? Because you won't forgive the sinners around you. I know they do wrong. But you will not take the shed blood of Christ and have say, that's enough, more than enough, for what they did wrong. So now you think you've accomplished something. Now you do something wrong, and invariably you will. Now you try to use that same shed blood of Christ to shed and to take care of your sin, and it will not, in your mind. Because in your mind, you have made it vain, worthless, to cover me. It doesn't cover what I did wrong. Even though I didn't do wrong, you just thought I did. And even if I do, it doesn't cover me. It doesn't cover the wrong of people around you. You made that decision, not me. Now, when it comes time that you want to use it to cover you, it works the same way. And that's why you go into depression. Because you're in the condition of a sinner. So then you look at a sinner who isn't in the same condition you're in, and you hate them. It's you ought to hate. You're mad at them because they're sinners. Well, you're a sinner too. So you can't be mad at them because they're a sinner, because you're one too. What you're mad about is they're not in the condition of a sinner, and you are. Sinner means one who bears the blame. In my life, Jesus Christ bore the blame. Satan is to be blamed, and Jesus Christ bore the blame. Sinner means to miss, hence to sin. Miss means to forfeit and to lack. You give up what God has given you, then you have lack. That's the condition of a sinner. When you don't have what you need, you're in the condition of a sinner. Even though you are cleansed in the eyes of the Lord from the sin, you lack. And people say, well, how come I lack? Because you forfeit. God didn't not give it to you. You just forfeited. And isn't it amazing? There's some days you can go through life and everything just goes just perfect. You're in your proper place. Then there's other days nothing goes right. You must have forfeited that day. Well, how does one forfeit? It's very important that you know how to forfeit, because you do it all the time. Now, if there is, let's just assume that you're on a team, and you're going to play another team, and they say, we will meet on this field at this time, on this date, and we will play the game, and the one who scores the most runs wins. But if they show up at the right time, at the right place, and you're not in the proper place at the right time, you forfeit. So what does forfeit mean? Not being in the proper place at the proper time. Not being in your position. Or you're in a lot of places, you're just not in the proper place. And the way you do it, you sit down and your place is inside of you. Your brain, what there is of it, belongs in your head. The decisions you make ought to be for your body. That's your place. And you sit there and say, she had not have done that, and she should do it this way. Well, right away, you're out of place. Now, what's going to happen as long as you're going to forfeit? Because you're not in the proper place at the proper time. There's life is going on without you. You're everywhere but where you belong. You forfeit every day by not being in the proper place, and that's why you lack. And you just mark it down. Whatever you lack is because you weren't in the proper place when the Lord was passing it out. You weren't. You don't know where the stadium is. Check your wallet. Open that up. And the next time you want to criticize someone, open up your wallet and pull out what's called a driver's license and see that ugly person staring back at you? That's you. What the hell are you doing talking about what she did? That's you. That's your proper place. You ought to be judging this person. You ought to be concerned with what this person does. You see that ugly one looking back at you? That one that has everything but numbers under it? They should have done a profile as well. You're a criminal. That's the one you ought to be concerned with. But you see, you open that and says, no, I want to do this one instead. Well, immediately you're not in your proper place. You just forfeited your position. You have now given your mind, your soul, the impossible task of controlling someone else. And it's not going to work. Then when you try to do something for yourself, you can't because you've used your power trying to control someone else. You're in the condition of a sinner. You have forfeited. You're not in the proper place at the proper time. As a matter of fact, I would suspect that some of you are already eating. Some of you are already forfeiting right now, and it's only 20 till. So blessed, happy is the man that doesn't take the advice of the guilty person and isn't in the condition of a person that isn't in the right place at the right time, in their proper place. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Seat means power base, place of authority. That doesn't sit in the authority of the scornful. See, the authority that you have, if it's of the scornful, it doesn't work. Well, now let's find out if you're scornful. Scornful means to make mouths at. In other words, just mouth the words. Now, you understand that these things on the end of your arms are hands. Do you understand that the things on the end of your legs are feet? So now, if you understand that slash, that rip, that gash in the front of your face is a mouth. Okay, now, do you understand that if you say something, you mouth something, and then your hands and your feet do that you said, then all of you is involved. But if your mouth says, I'm not going to smoke anymore, and then your hands go to Lucky's, or your feet go to Lucky's, and your hands take it out and light it up, then all you did is mouth the words. You got to understand that if these and these don't do what this does, you're scornful. You're just mouthing the words. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. The only way that it'll work is if these do what this does. If the only thing that's Christian about you is what you say, you're scornful. Because you're just mouthing the words. You say, well, brother, that's the condition everyone has. Uh-uh. I know that's the way we end up until we understand. If we were happy to begin with, if our purpose was to go straight, to be level, to be right, to be honest, and then to prosper, your blessings would have been all right. Then you wouldn't have had to deal with ungodly sinners and scornful. But see, the problem is that you are scornful. You just make the mouths until God makes you happy. straight, level, right, forward, honest, and prosperous. Then, and only then, will you believe him. That, my friend, is backwards. And you're never going to get it that way. Until you understand that as long as you say it and these things won't do what you're saying, you're only mouthing the words, you can criticize yourself forever. You can criticize me forever. The problem is you're not blessed. And the reason you're not blessed is because you're not happy. First. You don't want to go straight, be level, and right first. What you want to do is you want to prosper first. And then you'll be happy. And it's not going to work that way. So now it's important that you learn how to prosper. Because that's part of being blessed. Psalms 1:2. Very next verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day when things are going good, and night when things aren't going so good. It's always the law. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See how that works? It doesn't mean doing something right. Whatsoever you doeth will prosper. So now, what is happening here? This prosper is an important word, because whatever you do is going to prosper as long as you learn how to prosper. Now I'm going to show you why people prosper in the wrong thing or prosper in the right thing. And all we have to do is learn what the word prosper means. Prosper means to go forward, to advance, to promote, to grow. Whatsoever he does will go forward, will advance, will be promoted, and it'll prosper. So we look at the word prosper now from the English and say, well, how does this work? Are you trying to tell me that a person that smokes and is killing themselves with emphysema, drinks, overeats, is going to need bypasses, are they prospering? Yeah. Yes, they are. Everything they're doing is going forward, isn't it? They need more of it now than they did a year ago. They're prospering. So now we take apart the word prosper. The first part, pro, means defending, supporting, and giving a yes vote for. That's what pro means, when you give a yes vote for something, when you defend something, when you support something. That's pro. That's the first part of the word, prosper. Prosper. The second half, specs, S-P-E-C-S, we could read it this way, defending, supporting, and voting yes for specs. Now, what does specs mean? Because it means to defend, to support, and to vote yes for hope. Being for what you hope for. Defending what you hope for. I can't stop this today. You're defending what you're hoping for. I can't do this. I can't forgive him now. You are defending and supporting what you're hoping for. Now, you think that you really don't want to do those things when you say, I can't help it. What you're really doing is defining and making it obvious that that's what you're voting for. You're defending your hope. And how can you tell? Whatever's prospering in your life, that's the hope that you're defending. So the more you smoke, the more you drink, the more you cuss, the more you fuss, the more you eat, the more you don't eat, the more you eat wrong, the more you're doing is defending, supporting, and voting yes for your own hope. The only thing that can prosper in the life of a Christian is what they hope for. And the only thing that means is you will defend and you will support and you will vote yes for what you hope for. And then it will prosper. Now, get this through your head. If God Almighty will not withdraw that power from you when you're using it to kill yourself and everybody around you, why would he withdraw it when you choose to use it to make yourself healthy and everybody around you? Just what kind of an imposter do you think he is? You're a walking, living image of the fact that everything you hope for is prospering. And all you have to do is say, this is what I want, this is what I defend, and this is what I care about, and this is what I vote yes for, and that's got to prosper. That's what the word means. You say, well, I don't understand, brother, why I can't help myself from doing well. That's what you're hoping for. And you're defending and supporting and voting yes. So you see, all you have to do is look at your life and be honest and look at what prospers. And that's what you're hoping for. That's what you're defending. That's what you're supporting. And that's what you're saying yes to. Now that takes all the responsibility off of me or anybody around you for what's prospering in your life. That makes it strictly, puts it in your hands to do whatever you want with it. But you see, what you do is you refuse to accept the evidence. And you refuse to accept that that evidence is indicting you. Your hope is what's going forward. That's what's prospering. Well, why would that wrong thing? Because that's what you defend, that's what you support, and that's what you vote yes for. I've heard many people say this, and I think it's time to clear it up. I might as well. I do not believe that there's anybody in their right mind, some people in their wrong minds, want to die. I don't believe that, especially a Christian. I don't believe anybody in this room wants to die. I don't believe that. I also don't believe that God wants to kill any of you. I also don't believe that God will kill any of you. But I most firmly believe that God, no one in this room wants to die. But my question is, if you don't want to die, then why are you doing things to kill yourself? If you don't want to die, why do you smoke? If you don't want to die, why do you eat wrong? If you don't want to die, why are you always emotional and upset and frustrated and angry and just wearing your body out? I know you don't want to die, but you're doing things to kill yourself. Now, there's kind of an unknown thing going on there with you that you don't understand. Then finally one day, God forbid it should happen, you say, oh my God, what happened? Why, surely such and such wouldn't want to die. I'm sure they didn't. But they did some things to kill themselves, didn't they? I know this is hard to take, but what you hope for, it's what you'll defend, what you'll support, and what you'll vote yes for. That's a sad, sad commentary. When you start to realize there's not a thing wrong in your life that's there because that's what you hoped for. And the reason it's prospering, not that you expect it, but that you prospect it. You prosper it. You see, having the wrong hope is only part of it. That's all the enemy can do, is give you wrong information and give you the wrong hope. It doesn't become prosper until you defend it, you support it, and you say yes. So if the wrong hope, and I have wrong hopes, you have wrong hopes. If they can't do anything unless I say yes, I defend and support them, then it's just hope. It's not prosper, it's just spur. That's all it is. So now if I have a right hope, and we all, I have wrong hopes and I have right hopes. You do and I do, everybody does. There's no difference in us. So what then makes one individual in a certain area different than another one? Because we all have wrong hopes and we all have right hopes. Well, the hopes that I have that I defend and support, then go forward. The hopes that I have that are wrong that I defend and support, they go forward too. So in effect, what is wrong in your life? Well, you're supporting and defending and saying yes to the wrong hopes. Now, look at your life. In all of those areas where you had the right hope and you said yes to it and defended it, you've changed. In all of those areas where you have wrong hopes, and I have a right hope and a wrong hope for everything. You do, I do, everybody does. With the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone has a wrong hope and a right hope for everything. Now, again, where is the control factor then? What I support, what I defend, what I say yes to, three things. I have to support it, I have to defend it, and I have to say yes to it, or it can't go forward. Now, recognizing that you have two hopes for everything, in those areas where the wrong thing is growing, it's because you supported it, you defended it, and you said yes to it. Which means I have no responsibility, I have no blame for anything that's going on in your life. And vice versa, by the way. Now, if that's true, then Jesus Christ is also without blame. Because he said, I recognize as a sinner you have two hopes. Now I've taught you the one you support, the one you defend, the one you say yes to, is the one that's going forward. Now, if you don't like the one that's going forward, then don't say yes to it anymore. Amen. Don't defend it and don't support it. Say, well, brother, but I've got the habit. What's the problem? I'm already saying yes to it. All right, let's back up. The first thing I do is I say, that is wrong, and this is why you did it, and don't blame someone else. And what do? You start defending it. And then after you defend it, then you start supporting it. And that's why you say yes to it. The first thing I do is I attack that sucker. And the first thing you do is defend it. And then after it's laying there, then you support it. And you resurrect and say, well, you know, we'll just, he doesn't understand. So you defend it, you support it, and then you say yes. So you see, it's your hope, it's your prosper, it's your spur that you're pulling. I don't know how else to put it to you. Now, prosper means to succeed, to thrive, to grow in a vigorous way, but it means literally by defending and supporting and saying yes to what you hope for. Amen. Prosperity means something different, though. Prosperity means good fortune, success, and wealth. Well, now, the only way you can get good fortune, success, and wealth is to understand that if you don't have good fortune, success, and wealth, that's not what you're hoping for. So you see, all you have to do is change what you're hoping for. So I have learned. I walk up to something and say, that's what I hope for. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If that's mine, nobody or nothing can touch it. And if it isn't, I don't want it. Well, now it's got to go according to what I defend and I support. I'm a son of the living God. I defend that and I support that and I say yes to that. You say, well, that sounds kind of arrogant. But let me finish before you get too upset. Got to tell you your name now. Psalms 2:7. Don't ever forget your name. Don't ever forget your name. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Notice the importance here. The Lord hath said, past tense, thou art my son. This man is saying, I will, present tense, declare the decree that God said, past tense. So the problem is not that God said you're a son. The problem is you haven't said it. I will declare, now that's daily again, I will declare, present tense, the Lord hath, past tense, said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son. So we look up the word son. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my Ben. Ben is the Hebrew word for son. Now, the fact that the Lord has declared it, the fact that the Lord has said, look, there's my son. I declare, thou art my son. Ben isn't good enough. We got to put something in front of that. So we look up the Hebrew word for behold, because it says, behold, look, thou art my son. So we look up the Hebrew word for behold and the Hebrew word for son. The Hebrew word for behold is ru, and the Hebrew word for son is ben. Behold, thou art my ru, ben. You got to see it. So God in his infinite mercy said, well, oh no, I want a Reuben. What's a Reuben? Look! Do you think it's an accident that my name is Reuben? And that God gave me this message? A Reuben? Come on. Thou art my Reuben. See, so many Christians are satisfied with being just his Ben. Now, if he would have said, thou art my Ben, then you would be a son that nobody could see. So you would act like everybody else, and you'd say, well, I can't see. I can't rule Ben. I know there's a Ben in here, but I don't rule him. 99% of Christians are sons that you can't behold. You can't see them. You know who can see, behold, a son of God, a child, or a person by virtue of lack of guile, retardation, some kind of brain damage, whatever. They don't have guile. They're not deceitful anymore. They can see things. They can behold a son of God. And I've even seen people who are full of guile. When you walk into a room, they treat you different. Oh, I'm not saying they're going to say, oh, praise the Lord of majesty, he sent one of our sons. There's lots of, more often than not, I walk in. And here are these people being nice to each other, salespeople, and they look at you and ew, ew. Well, they're obviously under the strong influence of a spirit that hates the Son of God. And the minute a son of God comes in that they can behold, they go, ew. And what do you do? Oh, my God. You're upset because the devil can see that you're a son of God? Well, you want to be popular with everybody. I thank God when I walk in and someone says, ooh, I can't stand you, and I've never done anything to him. You better believe it. The Son of the living God, you better hate me. Chump. I'd be worried if you did like me. Didn't want to buy your stupid van anyway. Behold, thou art my Reuben. You're a son that's clearly seen. If you don't understand it, look at that. How could it be a son if you couldn't see it? You got to be able to behold it. Behold a son. You see, the problem is what's wrong in your life. Sickness and disease and virus and all of those things don't recognize you. Oh, you're a son. You're a Ben. You're just not a Reuben. Can't see you. You fit in so good. We're everywhere out there. You just, in fact, you feel comfortable if you're with the in crowd, even though you're a Ben. You just put no value in being a Reuben. I'll tell you something right now. If you were a Reuben, they wouldn't ask you, they wouldn't want you, and they'd have nothing to do with you. If you were a Reuben. And how do you become one? Say, well, you think you're so pious and so good. No. All I have to do is declare the decree. He said I'm his son, and I say I'm his son. How does that make me more morally pious, or my behavior different, or my desires different than yours? I'll tell you how it does. I have a lot of wrong hope, believe me. I have a lot of wrong desires, believe me. But you see, I'm smart enough to understand, because the Lord Jesus Christ has taught me, that there's a lot of things roaming around out there, temptations, sins, virus, disease, just guck. And it's looking around, and I used to walk through life a bend, and it looked at me, and poof, it was on me. And I'd go through the symptoms. Having the desires, being the sinner, which I still am. Now I've learned to be a Reuben. And all I did is just change what I said. Now I walk through the same life, and those gucks said, oh, I see that. Can you see that? Man, I see that. Now guck doesn't come to me. Does that make me more pious? Does that make me better? Because I now don't have a ding-dong to eat. If I had one, I'd eat it. I just don't have one anymore. Now, what has changed? Why do you say I'm pious and I think I'm perfect and I think I'm better, when in the reality the only thing that's happening is those things recognize and respect a son of God, and they can see him and they stay away. Now, how hard is it for me then not to smoke a cigarette I don't have? Not to eat a ding-dong I ain't got? Not to have to fight off a bacteria or a virus that I don't have? Well, what's happened? They just stay away from me. And what did I just declared it. I just agreed. That's all I did. But inside of me, I'll tell you right now, if that stuff could get to me, I'd eat it, drink it, smoke it, ram it, jam it, and cram it every day. As much of it as I can. I got a lot of money. I could do it. God said he'd give me the heart, desires of my heart. You see, it isn't a question of you fighting things off. It's a question of you declaring who you are, and they'll leave you alone. They'll look at you and, sugar will come and say, ooh, don't even stand that guy. Alcohol, whatever it is, it'll, but as long as it comes to you, know what the problem is. You're not a rude man. It can't see you. It doesn't see you as a son of God. Well, why not? Because you take his name in vain. The position is no good. You're still trying to fight it off yourself. You're still trying to somehow work it out yourself, and you can't. I'm telling you right now, unless you become a visible child of God, a Reuben, those things will keep coming to you, and as long as they keep coming to you, you will keep doing them forever and forever till you're off of this earth. And that's the only thing that changes. That's the only thing we have to do. It's almost like if I could tell you, just print it on your forehead. But it's that gash you have in your face, that rip, that all it does is mouth the words. It's really very easy. We're going out camping. We do that a lot. I thank God we don't have any mosquitoes running, but what if we had tons and tons of mosquitoes? And I gave you a little tiny club. And every time you see them, bop, bop, you just have to knock them out. Just knock out, just kill all the mosquitoes you can. You couldn't kill them. While you were killing them over here, they'd be eating you alive. But what if you put something on to repel them? Then they would say, poo-poo, don't even get around that guy. Now you could sit anywhere and they wouldn't come to you. You understand that concept, but still you want to go around with your little biblical little club trying to kill all the virus. Oh, I don't want to eat anymore. Bip, bip, and you're putting it in the other ear. When all you have to do is declare yourself, declare the decree, I am a son of the living God. don't care who doesn't like it, that's it. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Then it will leave you alone. Now you don't have all the hassles that you're having up to this point. Don't have time right now, but tonight we're going to finish this up. Son also means a builder of the family name. God wants to use you to build his name. And boy, it's such a strange way he does it. You want to build my name? Yes, sir, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll give up everything to build your name. I'll go on the mission fields. I'll crawl through broken glass. Slow down, chump. Here's how I want you to build my name. I'm ready, Lord. Be happy. Don't lack anything. That's not what I was... What? Stay home in your proper place. Don't have to go to Ethiopia. There's plenty of Ethiopians right around you. Have all your needs provided. Don't get sick anymore. Eat that's good for you, and I'll provide all of your needs, and I'll bless you in such a way that people will look at you and say, wow, how does he do that? That must be the Lord. Okay, Lord, what else? That's it. Oh, such a hard job. But haven't we all been taught just the opposite? You're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I know how to be a son of God. And I know how Satan recognizes a son of God. All good gifts come from the Father of lights. So the enemy, the bacteria, the diseases look around and says, that's got to be a son of God. Look. Oh, he said, but there's a lot of rich people, a lot of people that have, yeah, and they're taking drugs and they drink and they're unhappy. They have no happiness. They might have a lot of things, but they ain't got no happiness. So how does these things recognize you? How do you become a Reuben, a son who can be recognized? Show off your blessings. They'll recognize you. They'll walk by in the movie theater and they'll just want to touch your shoulder. And the guy had a hot dog. I'm telling you, he had a hot dog with mustard and onions. And I mean, he would just, oh, he wanted that. And a big barrel of nachos with cheese on it. It looked like the Pinatubo volcano. It was still bubbling. I mean, that was hot. That was hot cheese on there. And man, he was hungry, and he was going to get in front of that line. He didn't give a damn who. He was not going to wait. He wanted that food. And he got it, man. He come with a handful, and he was running to his seat practically. He wanted to eat this. And he looked at me, and he stopped. Put it down. Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know what he was asking me, but I said, agree with my adversary quickly. But this guy was not willing to wait in line. He wanted to eat this, and he stopped, put it down, just to smile at me, touch my shoulder. That's the same one that grabbed my hand on the way out. Behold, a son. And you see, this isn't so you can walk around and say, look at me. That's not what it's for. You know what it's for? So everything that's wrong on this earth says, stay away from him. Amen. That's what it's for. It's your spiritual immunity system. Amen. Now, if your spiritual immunity system is out of whack, so is your physical one. Amen. And all I'm telling you in this God's earth, that you are trying to do it backwards. Instead of trying to club all the things that are wrong, get a little repellent. Get a little repelling. Yeah. You know how to do that.